Before I dive in to Psalm 3, would you please bow with me for a word of prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is not uncommon to find greeting cards, really nice greeting cards, that have a Bible verse, right? You can go into the Hallmark store, and there's a whole section of religious cards. Or you can go into the Christian bookstore, and they have a section of cards. And usually they'll have a really beautiful mountain scene, and maybe a lake and a stream, and then there'll be a Bible verse. And it's usually something uplifting and inspiring, like, I lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, 121st Psalm. I've never seen Psalm 3 on a greeting card. Can you imagine? Hey, honey, we got a card from your Aunt Alma. It says, may the Lord strike you upon the cheek and break your teeth. Isn't that nice? She's so thoughtful, Aunt Alma. Now, very seriously, and this is serious, Psalm 3 is what the scholars call an imprecatory psalm. These psalms are often misunderstood, and we hope to unpack a little bit, but they are often misunderstood and sometimes even misapplied, because you do find the psalmist, and this isn't the only place, you find the psalmist praying things like, God, break their teeth out of their head, please. First of all, what the imprecatory psalms, first of all, none of the imprecatory psalms, for instance, promise that God is going to break the teeth out of your enemy's head. But what they tell us is that in my prayer, I can bring every emotion to God, even my anger, even my rage. He won't be put off. He'll hear it. And however you may react emotionally to that, and I'll say more about it in a minute, but however you may react emotionally to something like that, oh Lord, you know, strike them on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked. One thing is very clear. Now remember, the Psalms are, it's the prayer book of the Bible, and these prayers are not for the faint of heart. And they are prayers for those who are engaged in a battle, in a fight. And by the way, if you are not in a fight, let me back up. If you're a Christian, you're in a fight. If you don't know that you're in a fight, you're already defeated. Now, a little bit of context might help for this psalm. The author of Psalm 3 is King David, and he was under extreme duress. He is in physical danger. His life is being physically threatened. His own son, Absalom, has risen up in rebellion against him and raised an army of thousands. Now, you can read about this in 2 Samuel. You can read the history. It says that Absalom stole away the hearts of the people of Israel from David. You know, they had been back at the beginning when David first became king. Remember, they were dancing in the streets and chanting for King David. But that was a while ago now. And David is so yesterday. And Absalom is young and strong and handsome. And he stole away the hearts of the people of Israel. And now David is literally on the run, and his life under threat because Absalom and Absalom's army want to kill David so that Absalom can become king. You think our elections are rugged? And the people chasing him were mocking him. They were saying, there is no salvation for him in God. In other words, God's not going to bail you out of this, David. God's not going to rescue you. We're going to get you. Now, so can we today really pray, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, or literally on the jaw. You break the teeth of the wicked. Now, some modern interpreters and even some modern Christians will tell you these psalms are really beneath us. These psalms are sub-Christian. We shouldn't read them. We shouldn't use them in worship. We should kind of pass over these psalms, or at minimum, we should recognize, and there really are some voices that say, at minimum, we should recognize that psalms like this are really evil and will tempt us to evil and hatred. It'll tempt us into identifying, choosing enemies, and then hating them. There's an Orthodox priest, Greek Orthodox priest in California named Patrick Reardon. Yes, it doesn't sound like a Greek name, but he is a Greek Orthodox priest. Here's what he says. He's written a wonderful little book about the Psalms. Here's what he says about the claim that the imprecatory Psalms are hateful. This is unmitigated nonsense. The enemies here in the Psalm are the real enemies. The adversaries of the soul, those hostile forces spoken of in the very first verse of the book of Psalms. Remember Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. Remember? Then he goes on. To relinquish any of the Psalms on the excuse that its sentiments are too violent for a Christian is a clear sign that a person has also given up the very battle that a Christian is summoned from his bed to fight. The Psalms are prayers for those engaged in an ongoing spiritual conflict. No one else need bother even opening the book. Now, the New Testament urges us to see that this warfare is spiritual. Remember, last week we looked at the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We do not, and I'm reading now from Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. But make no mistake, it's still a battle. And if we don't know that we're in a battle, we're defeated before we begin. There are spiritual enemies that wage war against our souls, and Jesus said there is nothing more precious in this world than a human soul. And there is an enemy of our soul who wants to destroy human souls. And drag them down to hell. The whole world, as far as the Bible is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, the whole world does not equal the value of one human soul. Remember that Jesus said, "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul?" Nothing is more precious, absolutely nothing, in all creation. So anything that would destroy a human soul is the enemy of Christ. and is to be our enemy. And our most fervent and desperate prayers are to be for protection from these enemies and the defeat of these enemies. So I want to know, I'm going to ask you, do you pray this way for yourself? Do you pray this way for your children? Do you pray this way for the precious young people that have been trusted into the life of this congregation, for the young people that we'll be reaching out to with our Vacation Bible School, that they'll know the love of Jesus and that they'll come to know Him and walk with Him? Do we pray this for our friends? Do we pray this for Christians in places in the world where Christians are persecuted for their faith, where Christians are facing real flesh and blood enemies who would kill them and abuse them and oppress them? Now look at verse 3. But you, O Lord, now here's where we get into that David also is talking about a spiritual warfare. He says, you, O Lord, we sang this a minute ago, you, O Lord, are a shield about me. He doesn't pray, Lord, give me a big magical shield which I can carry, which will ward off every arrow. He says, no, Lord, you are my shield. You are my protection. In Ephesians 6, Paul goes on to say, I'm not going to read all of it, but remember he goes on to say, in order to fight this warfare, we must put on the full armor of God, right? And it's an invisible armor. The belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Now, how do you put on invisible armor? The only way is through prayer. That's how David did it. He proclaimed it in his prayer. Lord, you are my shield. You are a shield about me. In your prayers, proclaim it. Lord, you are my defense. You are my shield against the fiery darts of the evil one. Against anything that would come against my life, against my family, against my children, against my church. God is our defender. When we say the full armor of God, you are my shield, God. God is our defender and our mighty fortress. Earlier we sang Martin Luther's great hymn based on the 46th Psalm. God is our fortress and strength. An ever-present help. St. Patrick, the great Christian missionary who took the gospel to my ancestors in Ireland. Thank goodness, I might have been a druid. Patrick took the gospel to Ireland. And he understood the nature of the spiritual warfare that he was in. That there were spiritual forces of evil that controlled Ireland, that controlled its people. And he wrote a prayer. This is one of Charlie's favorites. He brought this into our men's Bible study recently. It's called St. Patrick's Breastplate. And it probably has evolved and been added to over the centuries, but it probably pretty definitely started with Patrick. And let me read it to you. And I recommend that you find it, you can Google it, you can find it online and pray it along with Psalm 3. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead. Notice how he's proclaiming it. He's just proclaiming this truth and for himself. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly angels to be my guard. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Did you catch that note, even the great danger that he's in, David, as he writes this psalm, and the note of complete peace, even in the midst of this danger? It really is the peace that passes understanding. In verse 5, I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Now remember, there's people chasing him that want to kill him. And he ought to be sitting there thinking, I can't go to sleep. I'm going to prop my eyes open because I can't go to sleep. No. He said, I laid down to sleep. You're my shield, God. And then he says, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. That's a great prayer for every morning when your eyes open up and the gift of a new day. I lay down and slept. And during that entire time, I was helpless, but you were in control, God. You were managing the galaxies. And the rain over Papua New Guinea. And you were watching over me. And I woke up because you sustained me. Verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Now this can also be translated, from the Lord comes victory. As you pray, declare God's victory. Declare God's deliverance, salvation over adversaries. Adversaries in your life that appear formidable, even overwhelming. Think of your greatest fear and proclaim God as your shield against that fear. Pray God's triumph for the whole world over violent oppression, particularly over the persecution of believers around the world, which is very intense today. Pray God's victory over poverty and hopelessness, over every kind of oppression and abuse of people, over disease, over troubled families, over wayward children, over your own depression and discouragement. And then say, salvation belongs to the Lord. That's the key verse in this psalm. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's not ours to earn. It's His to give. And I can't help but close by having us remember together that we are in the thick of another political season in our country. Here we are today, wedged right in between the two conventions. Good place for worship. And Christians will be tempted, and I use that word very deliberately, Christians will be tempted to place messianic hope somewhere other than Jesus. That my candidate absolutely has to get elected. And that other candidate absolutely must not be elected. Because my candidate is the way of life and hope and peace. Bunk. Don't you dare put messianic hope in a human being. Jesus has already been exalted, and he reigns over all. Remember the 146th psalm. Psalm 146 says, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation." Remember, salvation belongs to the Lord. "Put not your hope in princes, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish." They have no salvation. Now take them seriously, because we do take this world and this nation where God has placed us. We're placed here to live and to serve and to be engaged. So pray, think, debate, take it seriously, vote. But do all that in the quiet confidence that this world already has a Savior. And the only real hope of this world is Jesus Christ. And one day every knee will bow to Him. And pray that we will be a part of that great work, that all the world will know that salvation belongs to the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, You are a shield about us. You are our glory. You're the lifter of our heads. And so we proclaim today, Lord, that salvation belongs to You. And we ask, O Lord, that You would defeat in this world all the invisible powers, the principalities and powers of the spiritual realm that stand behind every human evil of this world, that those evils would be put down and defeated once and for all. We pray for the day, and we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And in the meantime, O Lord, as we are here in the battle, as we are in the fray, sustain us every day by Your grace. Make us joyful warriors for Christ. To share the sword of the word of truth, and Lord, to overcome enemies with the strength and the power of love. Give us grace, O God, to trust in You alone in this fight, in this conflict, and to lay down our heads at night in peace and to wake up refreshed. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.